It's good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So let's just open, kind of get things started with prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for being with us today, Lord. I thank you for your promise that that where we go, you go, that you never leave us, that you never forsake us, and that when we come together to worship, Lord, you are there in the midst. You are here, Father. So we just want to acknowledge your presence, Lord, and we want to just let this service be about you this morning, Jesus. I pray that our worship, that our that our hearts, that the word, that the testimonies, that Father, that everything would be about you, would be about bringing your name glory, lifting your name high in the place where it deserves to be. So Jesus, would you just have your way amongst us this morning? Yes, Holy Lord. Spirit, you're welcome here.
Yes. Holy Ghost.
Father, would you fill this place with your presence, your power? Jesus, I pray that we would encounter the living God this morning, that Jesus, that as we've come today with various needs, Lord, various emotional needs, financial needs, physical needs, Father, that you would meet us. That Jesus, I believe that when we focus on you and not our own problems, but we focus on you, Lord Jesus, that you meet us where we're at and that you minister to those needs that we've come today with, Lord. So Jesus, I thank you for all that you are, and I pray that you would move in us this morning in a mighty way, Father.
Praise.
Hallelujah. We celebrate you this morning.
Praise God.
And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask that the Jar Jors would join me in the platform here. Brother George and Ellen Jar Jor, they attend Eastgate Alliance, I believe. George, would you come at this time? Just want to acknowledge his wife, Ellen, is there. They attend the Eastgate Missionary Alliance. Anyways, Brother George has a ministry to Muslims and refugees, along with his wife. We're having a seminar coming in a few weeks, and Brother George and Sister Ellen are going to lead that.
Well, it's so nice to be here, guys. I love coming here to the country. I just want to tell you a bit about what we do. My name is George Jarjour. I'm born and raised in Aleppo, Syria, and went to university there. And so I've been trained in Islam from childhood, but here's the funny part. I'm actually a Jew. And
you just found that out recently.
Yeah. Actually, contacted my relatives in Israel. So we have big family in Israel. So what we do is we train people in Islam, and we take people to evangelize, teach them how to witness, share Christ with Muslims. So we give many courses. One of them, the one you're getting, it's actually developed by Trans World Radio and Life Challenge Africa. And so this was developed for Bible colleges. But, you know, Bible colleges don't give it because it's not politically correct. So you're going to learn about Islam. You'll learn about Islam in one day more than Muslims themselves. So you will learn about, you will meet some of my Muslim friends. And then you would learn about the life of Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, the one who created Islam. Then you would learn about the Quran, their holy book, and the Hadith, their traditions. You would learn about their pillars, their five pillars of Islam. And then you would learn about how to use ISIS to reach Muslims. Then you would learn about the difference between Sunni and Shiite. And then we'll show you how you can reach out, get trained about how to witness to Muslims. So we have all the resources on the ground. We have all the training. All you have to do, come and join us. So contact Pastor Bruce, and we're here to train you. And we'll see you on June the 3rd, right, Pastor?
That's it.
Yeah, what else you want to tell?
Pray in Arabic.
Okay, I'm going to tell you the urgency of us going to the Muslims. The population of Ottawa is 11% Muslims, and with
11%.
11% already. That's before the Syrian refugees coming here. So it's increasing. It's the fastest growing religion in the world. In the 70s, there were 700 million Muslims around the world. There are 1.6 billion now. It's going to surpass Christianity. And a lot of Christians are converting to Islam, especially after 9/11. And well, it's kind of they find actually Islam is a religion of strength, and they have such conviction when they speak. The Muslims, they speak with convictions. Actually, in a church in Orleans next month, I'm bringing a guy with me who's an ex-Muslim. I'll be translating, and he was such a powerful evangelist for Muslim Islam. He converted his Christian friends to Islam. They speak, they have such zeal for their religion. They speak with conviction. They're not scared. And the problem with us, we have the truth, and we just don't share it. So we need to go out, and the Lord said the harvest is a lot, but the workers are so, so few in this field. So we need to get out and not be afraid. Because let's face it, all we think of Muslims are, you know, they're going to blow themselves up, whatever. But Islam, most of them are very peace-loving people, and they want to know the truth. And actually, I met an Algerian woman in France. She was very angry at Christians. She goes, I stayed for 5 years in France. No one with Christians, no one shared Christ with me. Why are you keeping him for yourself? So our job is to go to them. And and that's what we will train you. We'll give you the training. We'll give you the material. Everything is free. We have these churches in Boston, Arabic and American churches. They give us free Bibles in English and Arabic. So you don't need to worry about money. You don't need to worry about training. We'll give you the training that you need. And we take you and show you how to evangelize. So everything is ready for you guys. All we want is to come with us and join us, please. Do you want me to pray in Aramaic?
Aramaic,
yeah.
All right.
I learned it from childhood.
All right.
The Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. How's that?
أبوم بشمية نتقاد ششمو ثيث ملكوتو نهوي سبيونو كانت بشمايو نحا هذا ملكوتو. Lord God, thank you for this church. Really appreciated Pastor Bruce and what he's doing. And pray for him, for his health and protection for this church and him, and from this church to become a light to all the world, Lord God, to go out, show the Christ, the love of Christ to the Muslims and to everybody else, Lord God. And we pray this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Give him praise and glorify his name. Prepare us, Lord, to receive thy word, O God. Yes, Lord.
There is power.
Oh, yes.
In the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice, so freely given, such a price. But our redemption, heaven's gate. Sweet wine, oh, chain, break every chain, Lord. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Some folks just need to hear that again. That's that message. The name of Jesus. There is power. Maybe you heard some rattling going on inside as the chains were loosing, as that song was sung. One night this week, as you turn to Luke chapter 8 and as they get the PowerPoint ready, one night this week, the Lord woke me up at 3:30 in the morning. Isn't that fun when he does that? You know it's Jesus and not your bladder when you have a scripture on your mind. Amen? Because I get up a couple of times, you know, for the other, but that's different. This is when you wake up and there is a scripture on your mind. And I woke up at 3:30 and heard in my spirit, the sower went forth to sow. And so when that happens, I say, okay, I know what I'm preaching on Sunday. Actually, the theme that we're supposed to be at here is how the Spirit bears fruit. And I think we can see this in the scripture anyways. And I went up and I got up and I looked in the three different places, because in Luke chapter 8 and in Matthew and also in Mark, this parable of the sower is recorded. But I want to draw our attention, if you could, to Luke chapter 8. And we'll use that one. I may make reference to one of the other places where this parable is also given. Luke chapter 8. When a large crowd was coming together, and those from various cities were journeying with him, he spake by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell upon rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture, no depth. Other seed fell amongst the thorns, and the thorns grew up, and the weeds, the thorns, it choked the life out of it. And other seed, hallelujah, fell upon good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And as he said these things, he would call out, "Who has ears to hear? Let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what the parable meant, and Jesus answered and said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand," quoting Isaiah chapter 6. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Hey, all I have to do for that one point is just reiterate the words of Jesus. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes, and ravens are always a symbol of the demonic in the scriptures. The devil comes, the enemy comes, and robs it and steals it away from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Luke is the only one that mentions this particular, that they would be saved. Verse 13, those on rocky soil, when the seed falls upon rocky soil, are those who, when they hear the word, receive initially with joy, but they have no firm roots, no deep roots. They're shallow. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Y'all have met some like that. Verse 14, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this world, this life. And they bring no fruit to maturity. They don't die, they just become unfruitful. But the seed in the good soil, these are those ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and ask, O God, that you would reveal it, Lord, to us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we desire to be a church that experiences harvest, but Lord, we need first to be a church that experiences sowing. So, Father, we pray, Lord God, today that you would grant us an unction by the Spirit of God to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, everyone would say. Amen. Because I like to have agreement in the house of God. A farmer had finished working his land. Hey, if you live anywhere like where I live, that's exactly what's going on today. Well, maybe hopefully not today, but it is going on today. And it's all around. Things are being cultivated. Stones are being picked. And the ground is being smoothed out. And it is being made ready for what? That's right. But to get the crop, you have to plant the seed. And so this is a wonderful time of year for me. I'm glad, you know, I own thousands of acres, you know. I don't have to work it. I just have to look at it. I look at it behind my house. I look at it in front of my house. There it is all around me. I don't have to do 1 ounce of work for it, but I get to see it all happening as though I was in the middle of it and as though I owned it all. Amen. I don't get any proceeds that comes from that. I don't have a new truck or anything. But anyways, I enjoy watching it. Well, this farmer, he was in his field and he had decided to take a break. He had been working his field. He was a lovely believer in the Lord and wanted to follow the Lord the best that he could. And as he sat under the tree and he looked up to the Lord and he said, Lord, show me a sign as to what I am to do next. And he saw in the cloud formation, GPC. And so he said, yes, Lord, your servant hears. I will go and preach Christ. And so he got up and he left his field and he went, told his family, his folks and whatnot. It was a family farm and said, God's called me to go preach Christ. He went out for that next year and he was a miserable failure. He really sucked at that thing, preaching Christ. And so the next year, he is sitting under the same tree, returned home to the farm after feeling like a failure and after feeling miserable. And he said, Lord, I did what you told me to do. Where did I go wrong? And he heard the voice of the Lord said, I told you, GPC. What to do next? Go plant corn. Sometimes the obvious is what we need to do. The sower went out to sow his seed. Sometimes, friends, we ignore the obvious in search of the mysterious and remain oblivious to the impervious. That statement came to me yesterday, and I had to ask Carol, I said, what does impervious mean? She looked it up. It means something that's impenetrable, something solid. It should be self-evident that if you are called and equipped as a farmer and you have a field in front of you, that you have worked in careful preparation for the seed, that the next obvious thing you should do would be to sow seed, especially if the goal is to produce a harvest. Before we can expect to be co-laborers with Christ in the harvest, and we talk about revival. Oh, God, bring revival. We sang about it this morning. Lord, do a work. Lord, bring in the harvest. Help us to be laborers in that harvest field. Before we can be co-laborers in the harvest, we must be faithful sowers of the word, even if some of our seed does not appear to bear fruit. You see, this text of Scripture talks about different kinds of soil, but it talks about only one kind of seed. There is a very brief definition of the seed. It says the seed is the Word of God. That is the constant. It does not change. The Word of God never changes. Amen? It is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because Jesus, the Logos, the divine Word of God, never changes. The Word is constant. The people change their mind. Churches change. Opinions change. Demographics change. We're 11% Muslim in the city of Ottawa. Things change, but the Word of God abides forever. We sow the Word. The Word is the same, but the soil is different. Different types of soil. Look at the different types of soil. I'm not going to get so much into them, but here is the first one. The one is the hard, absolute hard. They fall upon the pathway. You know, they didn't have asphalt in those days, but a pathway that had been well trod back and forth alongside of the field. If some of the seed scatters into that area, and of course, we're not talking about the fancy, great, big $100,000 cedars that they got now in behind my house today, but you're talking about a fellow with a bag. right? Reaches into the bag, he grabs a handful of the stuff, and he goes like that. I think we have a picture more or less, except we're on the next picture now. Guy just throws that, scatters that seed. And so it goes all over the place. It lands here, it lands there, wherever it may be. It kind of ends up here and there. And if some of it does fall on real hard ground, some of it falls on stony ground where it has not much depth and it is dry out and the scorching sun comes up and the enemy comes and continues to prevent it from going down deep. The first one, the enemy comes and steals the seed away because it never even germinates. And the other one, well, it germinates, but it doesn't have much depth. Another one, it says that the thorns grow up and choke it from being fruitful. And then one, hallelujah, one produces fruit. You know, friends, we grow discouraged sometimes about the other kinds of soil. But a small revelation came to me as I was looking at the Word. You know that Jesus was a sower? Oh, of course He was. He sowed the Word of God. He sowed the Word of God in His ministry. That's what He did, even in this text of Scripture. He is quoting Isaiah chapter 6 to the disciples. He was a sower of the Word. Some would say, well, I only sow when I get a hundredfold return. Then you're better than Jesus. Why? Because Jesus sowed the Word of God and He was the most anointed, amen. You think you got a better anointing than Jesus, friends? I don't think so. He was the sower of the Word like we are sowers of the Word. He cast the seed. He knew exactly what He was talking about because He had experienced it in His ministry. He sowed Word and it fell on hard ground and He watched the devil come, the ravens come and steal it away from their hearts. He watched as He sowed the Word, and some people, and you can read the stories in the Scripture, how they received with gladness, but they had no depth to it, and they died spiritually. He saw and watched the people receive, like that rich young ruler who received it and said, oh, I'm in 100%, and he said, sell everything you got. He walked away sad. And praise God, he did have the glorious opportunity to see people really get in and latch into the Word of God. If Jesus was always walking in the Spirit, and we believe, of course, that He was, and He was always in obedience to the Father, right? Of course He was. Then why didn't everything He do produce fruit? Everything He did was right. Even when the seeds fell upon the hard ground. I have a little statement here that says this. I want to do the right thing, the right way, at the right time, and leave the results to God. You see, friends, it's about you doing the right thing. Pray about it. What does God want you to do? How does God want you to do it? When does God want you to do it? And if you sit back and say, well, okay, now I'm going to cash in on my hundredfold, you just do the right thing, the right way at the right time, and leave the results up to God. Sowing in hard ground or shallow ground or thorn-infested ground is not necessarily the wrong thing, the wrong way at the wrong time. The thing about the sower is that he's supposed to sow. Is this brain-shattering truth? You know, we had an old planter out back in Grandpa's dry shed, and I remember getting the bags of seed and you'd have to pour them into the back thing, and then, anyways, we had about four different compartments. And it originally had been a horse-drawn one. It had been refitted to be able to be pulled behind a tractor. And so it was an old thing. And then it never was used again. And we just opened up the things and chicken, the hens built their nests in the seed things. And we could use it for eggs instead. It was only used once a year, and that was its purpose. Its purpose was, you couldn't use it for anything else. I mean, you couldn't spread manure with a cedar. I mean, that sounds crazy. Most of you folk are farm folks. You understand. Imagine me filling up the thing. Well, you know, we want to get good. We only use this thing, you know, in the springtime, so we want to get better use out of it. So I'm going to open up the little opening. I'm going to fill it with a poop. You know, I'm going to put manure in there. I'm going to try to spread manure with this thing. It won't work, friends. You know? I mean, you could. What else can you do with it then? To sow seed. And friends, when you're called and when God has called us to be sowers of the word, that's what we're supposed to do. And some would say, well, I don't like wasting good seed. No, none of us likes wasting good seed. None of us likes to you know, when that old cedar, you know, you get it backed up on the road, and it comes out on the road, and of course it never stops. It never really, as long as it's moving, these are the old ones, as long as they moved, seed came out, right? So there was nothing you could stop up front, no PTO or those kind of things. So, I mean, as long as it moved, it had seed. So you went out on the road or you had to do something or whatever else, seed scattered out on the road. None of us likes to see seed wasted. Especially if you know it isn't likely to produce fruit, but that's your opinion, isn't it? True success is experiencing contentment and knowing that you're doing the right thing the right way at the right time, not in how much seed falls upon good ground and produces a hundredfold return. There are mistakes made by the church, made by Christians, in involving the sowing of the seeds. And I believe this is the time of the year that the Lord would have me say this. So this seems to be work. I think the Spirit of God is leading us. The first thing is, we don't want to stop sowing seed because we don't feel qualified. The lie of the enemy in the church is to say that the pastors or the leaders or certain people are the ones who are to sow seed, not me. We hire people to sow seed. We send people to Bible college to sow seed. We equip people, you know, with degrees, or we equip them with ordination certificates so that they may be qualified as seed sowers. No. I am no more qualified to be a sower of a seed than you are, because we're all called at the same ministry in this realm. I had a conference speaker a couple of weeks ago, Elder John Sprecher. He said this at conference. I believe he put it up there. He said, when you are chosen to do something for God, then you are always the best qualified person for the job. If God has called you, you know, for the job, you are always the best qualified. Because you can't say, Lord, no, not me, somebody else. I'm not qualified. I'm this, I'm that, I'm whatever else. And you start to confess things into your life. And guess what? As you confess them, they start happening. You need to start confessing who you are. You are a sower. It's time to get you out of the dry shed, amen? It's time to get the dust off of you. It's time to fill you up with the Word of God, hallelujah, and let you loose. You know, if we keep filling you up with the Word of God here, you keep filling up there, and you don't get rid of it, you're just going to be one sorry sight full of words spilling out. You know, you need to get that thing into the field. You are the chosen of God. He's called you to be a sower. Then you are the best person qualified for that job. Wherever He has put you, He's placed you in a place of employment. He's placed you in a school. He has placed you in a business. He's placed you in a job. He's placed you in a neighborhood. And you say, well, somebody else has to do this. Somebody else has to reach these people. Well, He puts you there. You are always the best qualified for the job. I'm concerned. You know, I when I grew up, you know, crazy evangelicals. I am a crazy evangelical. I'm a charismatic crazy evangelical, all right? And us crazy evangelicals, here's what we used to do. Everybody gave out tracts. I mean, there wasn't a Christian growing up that didn't have a bumper sticker that said Jesus on it or something. And, you know, there wasn't a Christian that I grew up knowing that didn't. The poor ladies at lunch. You know, of course, we didn't go to restaurants on Sunday because that was the devil's work. Anyways, now then, of course, then we found out that, you know, our friends in the in the in the cities, they all went out to lunch after church and found out it was okay to do that. Anyways, then we started doing it, you know, in the country. You know, these poor gals, you know, they would, some of these gals, you know, these waitresses would have 8, 10, 15 tracks every Sunday. Hopefully there was tips with them. Because cheap Christians are bad Christians. You don't want to give a track out if you're cheap, all right? Okay. But I mean, everybody did this. Everybody's, I mean, this was just a common thing. You know, I can't remember who was that. I'm looking at Tom and Dot. There was a lady in Chesterville. A lady in Chesterville used to get candy wrappers and wrap them with scripture verses. She went to the Presbyterian church. Do you remember that? Doesn't ring any bells, but I remember this gal. And anyway, she used to wrap the, and then drop candy throughout the town. Walk and drop candy, leave candy on ledges and leave candy, and had little scripture verses that she gently unwrapped the candy, put a scripture in it, and then wrapped the candy up. You know, maybe that wouldn't work today. Every Christian would put tracts when they had a hydro bill or when whatever it was, you know, and now you do it all online. You see, we're getting so less personal all the time. Every Christian that I knew would put gospel tracts in their hydro bills, in their Bell Canada bills. That was just a common thing. We don't do, yeah. Does that sound like you? Listen, I'm talking, you know, we just, for some reason, did we get embarrassed about being a Christian? Did the culture around us, did we start thinking that maybe what's the point of sowing the seed? You can change the way you sow. The styles, the things that we used to do, friends, we can do it differently, right? But you've got to keep sowing. Because when we don't feel qualified, we often try to copy the ministries of others that have success. That's something else that we tend to do. I'm bringing a little bit from the conference that I was at because I believe God's timing is like this, comes together. Brother Elder Sprecher, he said this, there are many resources for leaders that they take what seems to be the easier way. In other words, what he's saying is this. He says, instead of asking the Holy Spirit how to do things, what we do is we say, well, look, there's a church down the road or there's a ministry over there that's very successful, has a lot of people. Let's do it that way. Or we attend a conference, or we go to these conferences or whatever else, and there may be well good wisdom there, amen, friends. I'm not saying don't ever do it. I'm not saying don't ever pick up a book on church growth or whatever and don't look at it. There are reasons for those kind of things. But what we do is tend to say, listen, we don't know anything. We're not qualified. We can't hear from God. Therefore, we'll just copy what somebody else does. He said this. He said, the church is so often in North America is full of imitators and not innovators. When you're an imitator, you simply say, well, that works over there, let's do that. But if you're an innovator, you're saying, Lord, show us what we're to do here and now in this place. Give us a Holy Ghost word for my neighbor. Give me a Holy Ghost word for my family. Oh, you know those people you've sowed so often and you no longer sow anymore because you've given up because you think you're not getting any harvest? Or those neighbors that you've given up on because they didn't respond the first 3 times you smiled at them? Or whoever it may be, you've given up on them, you've quit sowing any word? Friends, I'm afraid that this is the word for the church today, is that we're not sowing the word. We're receiving word oftentimes, but we're not sowing word. And we've become a great church in North America of imitators, and not so much as innovators. Led by the Holy Ghost. I need to move on. Sometimes we stop sowing simply because it gets hard. Well, that's the way it is, friends. People seem to think that everything should be easy. We should have instant results. Friends, I want you to think about a Middle Eastern. Hey, that helps having you here, brother. You know, think of somebody, you know, from the Middle East 2,000 years ago, and I'm sure it wasn't just 2,000 years ago that they did this and sowed like this. In fact, we, of course, in this even nation here, a couple of hundred years ago, this is the way we sowed seed. And friends, when you sow seed all day and in the hot sun, sowers get blisters. Sowers have their feet get sore. Sowers' backs ache. The sun scorches their skin. The dust of the field gets in their nostrils and in their mouths. It's hard work. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 5:12. He said this. He said, honor them that labor amongst you. Now, he had about 6 different words for labor that he could have chose. And the word that he chose for those who labor amongst you is a word that basically means this: work until you drop. I have a saying sometimes I use that. But literally it means work until point of exhaustion. Work till spent. Work until the day is done, until you got no more strength to work. He said, those are the ones you honor amongst you. The ones that sacrifice for the work of the gospel. It's hard work, friends. What did you expect when you signed up? This time of the year, we are seeing it worked all around us, but it's being prepared for a purpose, for the seed. What a tragedy if the trees were cleared, the stones were picked, the tile drain was put in, installed at the great expense of thousands of dollars. First of all, you have to purchase the thing, and it's getting expensive to purchase a piece of ground. Amen? And then you clear the trees and put in the tile drain and pick the stones and prepare the land. What a tragedy just to leave it like that and say, well, we've done our work. I'm afraid, friends, that many of our beautiful buildings and churches and all this kind of thing are the great expense of the church, purchasing and working and building and doing all kinds of things, and then not to do what the church is called to do, which is to spread the word. And what a waste. What a waste. Some people, the third one is saving your seed for good soil. You know, some people say, I only got this little bit of seed. Little bitty seed. I got to save it. I don't want to risk it going on bad ground. I don't want to risk it going on hard ground. I don't want to risk it going on a place where there's no depth. I don't want to see that happen in my ministry, in my life. I don't want to see people get their thorns choke the life out of them and not produce fruit. So I'm just going to keep my seed. And when the conditions are right, and when everything is perfect, and when I, in my own great wisdom, oh, Lord, help us, think that I'm going to produce fruit in this person's life, then I'll take my expensive seed that I'm hoarding and I'll plant it there. Do you believe that God is a good supplier? The Lord said, He supplieth the seed for the sower. Throw it away, Saint Francis. Throw it away. Throw it into the ground. Get rid of that seed, and God will supply you with more. Just keep sowing. God will do it. It is none of our business where it falls. There were times when Jesus preached, and most of the crowd walked away because they didn't like what he had to say. Friends, that's hard ground. It isn't easy to watch the birds come, and that's a picture, as I said, of the demonic, and pick the seed out of people's hearts. And some people quit throwing their tithing seed because they don't like how the church is spending it. I've heard that before, not in this church so much. I know it's a different kind of seed, but friends, people prefer to eat their own seed than to sow it into the kingdom of God. God has a plan for the seed in the soil. Some people want to hoard their seed, and the seed rots eventually. It's only good in the ground. You know, in 2008, there was an economic downturn, recession, or whatever you want to say it. There was a businessman, you know, in Atlanta, Georgia, who said this. He said, the amount of money, he said, that Christians in Atlanta, and Atlanta, I guess, is kind of one of these holy cities, you know. It's got churches like galore, and evangelical believers like you wouldn't believe, and fairly well off. A city. He said, if the Christians in Atlanta, Georgia alone, the businessmen, had a known that they were going to lose billions in the stock market over the next couple of years, he said, if they had taken that money, just the money they lost, and had invested in the kingdom, that one, just the money they lost, just from businessmen in Atlanta, Georgia, would have financed the kingdom of God in this world for a year. Out of America, I mean missions and everything in America. You hoard the word, you hoard the seed, and the seed rots. I know I'm getting onto something else, so Lord help me. There are two things that prevent people from being saved: a lack of seed and the condition of the heart. The condition of the heart, that's up to the sovereign God. You can't change their hearts. Hey, I wish I had a formula. Hey, yes, we have a formula. We have prayer. We have this kind of this and that. We have the Spirit of God. You know, we pray. We do. But, you know, listen. You're sowers of the seed. The reason why you experience any harvest at all is because somebody has sown. And you've been part of a harvest. The reason why we'll experience harvest here is that somebody, even the harvest, anything that comes in, it may not even be us that has sown the seed. It may be some believer, some Christian, some follower of the Lord God somewhere else, and we're blessed by the harvest here. Somebody sowed a seed. God is calling us, I'll say this in closing, God is calling us to sow for the long haul. This week I did something that is not unusual for me. I opened my big mouth and got in trouble. Okay. Does that mean you agree? You can see that happening? It happens. I made some comments in social media, and anyways, this sister that I'm deeply concerned about her, and I just said, you know, after that, I said that's enough. I'm tired of praying for, I'm tired of this. And I go, well, I don't want to get it. It's an individual thing. It's not from this church. Don't worry. I just said, you know, that's enough. I've spent enough time. I've given enough chances. I've done enough in her life. And then I got righteous. Ooh, isn't that scary? Isn't it scary when Christians get self-righteous? You ever seen one? Just look at your friends around you. And I start quoting Scripture, you know. Because, you know, when you're self-righteous, you like to quote Scripture too. I said, I'm done casting my pearls before the swine. So you can always find a Scripture verse for doing something you don't, you know. But, you know, I said, Lord, show me what you want to do. And I opened up a devotional, and it was opened up to April 25th, my daily bread thing. And the scripture was this: let us not become weary in doing, and I add, sowing good seed. For at the proper time, that word, in, at the proper time, not your timing, friends, sovereign God, at the kairos in the Greek, if you're interested in that, the kairos, Kairos time. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You are called to sow, and it's God who brings the results. Brother Paul said it himself, one plants, one waters, but it is God that giveth the increase. You were built, you were designed, and you were given seed. He provides the seed. He provides the word. He giveth you the word. He giveth you the seed of the word. I want you just to open up your hand right now and say, Lord, give me the seed. Can you do that? Just quietly. I know you don't want to. Some of you are real nervous about doing anything publicly, but just say, Lord, give me the seed. Can you picture the Lord opening up? You're a seeder now. You are an equipment. You are equipment in the kingdom of God that God is bringing out of the dry shed. out of the place where it's been stored. And maybe you've been stored too long. Maybe you used to witness. Maybe you used to share the gospel. Maybe you used to hand out a tract or two from time to time, or whatever it is that God had put in your heart to do. Maybe whatever it is, and God is saying, I want you to open up your hands. I want you to receive the seed. I am putting the word in your hands. And it is not meant to stay there. Father, Lord, each one that is here today that has received the word of God, has received this message, has received the truth of the Almighty God, who knows that there is a work to be done. Father God, we pray, Lord, that you will send us forth. Lord, we make a fresh commitment today. Saint of God, if that's you, just raise your hand. My eyes closed. Yours can be as well. Just raise your hand. If that's the Spirit of God is speaking to you today. And of course, remember, your hand's full of seed. And so when you raise a fist, if you want to keep it clenched, you're not angry at God. Don't worry. It's because your fist is full of seed. And you say, Lord, I'm recommitting myself today to be a sower of the word. Is there anyone here today? Sower of the word. Be a sower of the word. Just release it, Lord. Release it. I am qualified because I am called, and you don't make mistakes. In Jesus' name. They're going to sing a song, and then Pastor Dan is going to close with a benediction.
There is peace and contentment in the Father's house today. Lots of food on his table, and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush calms the singing as the Father sadly cries. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children
from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. Just going to read this. This will be the benediction. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace amongst yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Be patient with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen.
Time has gone, slipped and come and gone, but if you're not rushing out, you can spend a couple of minutes just praying for laborers to go forth into his field, then I just invite you to do that today. God bless you as you go.